Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults, and the opinions expressed do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves. We'd like to hear from you. Give us a call at 419-528-TDRK to leave a voicemail, and we just may play it on the show.
Yeah, where I was like, why do I need this?
Yeah, why do I need to hear myself when I talk?
Now I'm like, why don't I have this?
I hate myself enough. Why do I need to hear how stupid I am in real time?
It's like listening to two idiots jabber, and when I don't have a monitor, I'm fucking talking.
There's a lot. Okay, that's our intro.
I don't have my notes open and we have an intro. That's great.
Hey, it's you know, when we start 15 minutes late.
You're the worst.
What do you mean?
This is very simple.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
You're the fan for my giant laptop.
Yeah, you're fucking
my giant hovercraft laptop.
Yeah. Little dude all parachuting behind it.
Yeah, that's pretty much. Yeah. He's just like, he's windsurfing on the back end of this. That Indian in the cupboard is windsurfing on the back of my laptop.
His name was Little Bear.
Yeah, he slaughtered all the boxcar kids.
Hey, Chris, what episode is it?
And this is episode number 73 of the comedy podcast, Those Damn Ross Kids.
My name is Cole.
I am Chris.
And we're here to entertain your asses.
Yeah, probably.
Sorry about last week.
In your head.
Yeah, we weren't here last week, but we're here now.
Yeah.
Isn't that enough for you jackals?
Life. Life is, it's,
It's, she is a harsh mistress.
Harsh mistress.
She's a harsh mistress.
Not the kind you pay to be harsh.
Scream at my balls real loud, please.
the kind you pay to be nice and then just, you know, pummels you. Pummels your prostate like a speed bag.
Wasn't expecting that with a throat full of Yingling.
No, there you go.
Yeah.
Unpaid advert.
Hey, Chris. Tell me a story.
Zing pop.
Bleep blorp. Zerp.
What you gonna do? Hey, a 35-year-old woman is facing felony charges after investigators say she took nude photos of her teenage daughter, knowing the girl intended to send them to an Oregon man. The woman's 13-year-old daughter told sheriff's detectives that her 30-year-old boyfriend from Oregon provided her with a cell phone and requested that she send him naked pictures of herself. The girl said the mother took the three photos of her after the girl couldn't figure out how to do it herself. The nude photos were then sent to the 30-year-old, 35-year-old, 30-year-old, doesn't matter.
It really doesn't.
He's really old.
It really doesn't.
Oregon man. So, this is not about ages. If you're not old enough, or you do not have the ability to figure out how to do this on your own,
No.
Any help you give them is illegal.
Take
the numbers out of it. This is not a numbers game.
Nothing good happens when a parent tries to be your best friend.
This isn't like selling basement waterproofing. This is not a numbers game. All right,
it's a game of inches.
This is a game.
It's a game of inches.
This is a game of inches in which.
It's a game of 3.5 inches, which is the size of that screen.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
But yeah, mommy says, hey, what are you doing? Okay. I like Paul.
I want to get in on this action.
Paul's neato. Let's send him some pics.
I have read his Facebook messages to you.
Oh, my goodness.
He knows how to use a smiley. He deploys those things like tactical nukes.
Oh, who knew?
I like the cut of his jib.
I like the cut of your jib.
You know, that whole, like, less than three. You know what that means?
Heart. Virgin? No. We're not talking about fingers.
No.
That's not what we were talking about.
No, no.
It's got to be your bowl.
It's got what 13-year-old doesn't have, how old was she?
What 13-year-old doesn't have just stock nude pics of herself?
I know.
That, like, you know, on a sleepover she had her friend do.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I want to know.
Well, I mean, what 13-year-old doesn't have a cell phone these days?
What 13-year-old doesn't have like 30 or 40 nude pics in queue?
8x10
for the uploads to the oldsmans.
8x10 glossies with their school schedule in the back.
Yeah, absolutely. This is where I walk home. Here's my hymen. That's what I do for a living.
That's what I do for a living. Declare the presence of a hymen.
Yeah, there you go.
There are people in the Middle East who are paid to do
a confirmed case of hymen.
Yeah, well, there's your problem. That's a hymen right there.
That's a hymen. Get that out of the way.
Jeez, oh, Pete.
Hey, no crying. You're the one who called me to be here.
Here, let me send you this cell phone. Ching, ching. No, but what kid doesn't have a camera phone and know how to use it? I mean, I used to work in a mall. I've seen these kids. I've seen toddlers walking around.
I've seen these kids in the mall in the mirror at Hollister.
I've seen these kids while I have secreted myself in the planters at the mall.
I know what they're doing.
They're walking around with Bluetooths on.
What are you going to do?
Come on.
I don't know.
They're walking around. They're talking.
Stupid girls come from stupid moms.
God, man.
Stupid boys comes from, well, stupid moms, because dad left, because he's smart.
Daddy had the right idea.
Where's daddy? I want to be like daddy. I want to leave.
This was in the Northwest, right? This was Oregon, right? This was on the Oregon Trail?
Yeah.
Well, let's stay in the region.
At the end of the Oregon Trail.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that the Oregon Trail didn't start in Oregon.
I almost didn't get there, you know, because of
Flats of Gibraltar.
Yeah, I tried to fjord the river. So a 30-year-old Idaho dance enthusiast was on drugs and forced another man to perform Michael Jackson's Moonwalk at gunpoint. Police were called to the scene after shots were fired. The man wasn't hurt, so it can only be assumed that the dance was performed flawlessly. So all those scenes from the old westerns where they shoot at the ground and say, dance, dance. That happens in real life, I guess.
Buford Tannen.
What?
Biff Tannen's great-great-grandfather.
Oh, yeah. There we go. Okay. Yeah, that's see? Right. It happens. It's real. Dance. Mm-hmm. Dance. Slide away from
me. It's the only way you can respectfully moonwalk.
In fact,
I wouldn't be surprised if somebody just really figured out that they could moonwalk, didn't have an opportunity to do it. They hired a gunman to do it at gunpoint so they could show off their moonwalk skills.
but not a choice. It's kind of like that story may or may not be apocryphal from the Holocaust about a young Jewish girl who was brought into the chambers of somebody who, you know, sort of high up at the concentration camp, and then she was handed a fiddle and she was told play. No, it was a boy, it was a little boy, he was told play. But, you know, play the fiddle. He didn't know how to play the fiddle, and they pulled out a Ruger and pointed at him, just, you know, play this violin. And so he picked it up and he played it flawlessly. And, you know, he dropped it and then he wept and then they let him go.
I stopped listening when you said may or may not, because I thought may not or mayor McCheese. I was trying to figure out how to make that work.
Mayor,
so I have may not or mayor McCheese.
I may or may not have listened to your story as I was trying to make McDonald's jokes.
McCheese. Gotcha. It was a very McCheesy conversation.
No, I couldn't moonwalk until I was at knife point.
Mayor McCheese.
Mayor McCheese, he had a fucking Bowie knife, a switchblade, pushed right up against my sternum, and I was like, whoa. And I backed up real quick.
Giving a hand job to Buford Tannen.
Backed up and got away.
That's what that day is
about. So you're telling me you wouldn't respect somebody if they hopped up on this table right now and moonwalked in front of you?
No.
No?
No.
Not even if they weren't just doing it for attention?
Yeah, no.
I mean, this is a hypothetical. People only moonwalk for attention.
Or
to save their lives.
I don't know. A roommate squabble has left a man with only one good eye after a dispute about a loud radio turned violent. Police arrested a man on suspicion of felony aggravated mayhem after he allegedly removed the eyeball of his roommate, a 61-year-old man.
What?
Yeah. I'm sure he used the proper utensils.
A melon baller?
The two men lived at a skilled nursing facility in Vallejo, California, where tempers flared after one of the two men played his radio too loud for the other.
A skilled nursing facility?
Yeah, very skilled. He took an eye out.
Surgeon
Which quick. Is more than I can say that I could do quickly.
Yeah, quickly and efficiently.
Without blood loss. Lots of blood loss.
Which is a hypothetical.
Like
for
more
you.
Than like a roll of paper towel with
like,
the blood.
Like more blood loss than you usually have.
Blood at loss. Any given moment. Yes.
Blood. Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I have blood lust.
Okay.
Yeah, which is why I suck tampons. But that's different.
that is very different.
That is because I don't know what a straw is.
I've been meaning to. Oh, God. Oh. You go too far, like, a lot. You know
sometimes,
that, right?
Sometimes,
yeah.
No. The imagery, let alone the taste and
the
sensory.
God, man. Ugh. People with vivid imaginations. God. No, but... Ah, fuck. So you said roommates, and I was thinking, like, you know, like 20-year-olds.
No.
Not 65.
Yeah, 61.
No. So are these living senior living facilities? Are they packed deep like jail cells? You know, three people to a bunk kind of
thing?
Yeah,
there's three people to a bunk and two eyes to a room. So they're really angry at each other.
I was gonna make a joke about the song on the radio being Iron Maiden's Electric Eye, but since they're 65, it might have been something that you would Charleston to. Now the Charleston was before that. I don't know.
Maybe you would do the salt shaker.
Well, they have to wash their sodium.
Damn it! No, nope. That's right. It's funny how it changes. One week eggs are bad, the next week you don't need your eyes. Can I learn more from you?
Yes, you can. Can I tell you about snacks from around the world?
Can I learn more from you?
Yes.
Good.
Yeah. What's with the enthusiasm?
That was a segue. Yeah. Can I learn more from you?
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can. Here's my story. That's okay. The format. That's what we do.
That's what we settled
okay?
on.
Okay. Yep.
Where are we?
73.
I think I need to lay down.
Yeah.
Americans, Chris, are the kings of snacking. But food companies are setting their sights on emerging markets as countries like China, Russia, and India cultivate their own middle classes filled with people who are overworked with little time to cook or eat.
God.
Here are some ways of how these companies are altering their food to match these new markets.
Sriracha.
Sriracha. Now, sriracha, that has universal appeal.
Mm-hmm.
Cock sauce, man. As a rooster on the bottle. And I just douse everything in cock sauce. It's great.
Yeah.
I marinated some chicken with those, so it was okay.
Universal appeal. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Chris, Oreos in China. Oriental Oreos. Started out, tried to market them with the vanilla cream inside, but the Chinese, they don't like that. They don't like sweet things. So wafers are popular in China, so they just said, hey, you know what? We'll sell the Oreos without any filling. No big deal. They saw mild popularity, so they decided to push it just a little bit. They now have Oreos that have filling inside that's flavored after green tea ice cream. And then they have fruity kinds, like raspberry/blueberry, which I would eat. Would you eat a raspberry/blueberry Oreo?
Not as enthusiastically as you. Because I couldn't say, which I would eat.
Which I would eat. I would. That sounds delicious,
right? Because you left out the shit of.
I would eat the shit out of. I would. It, like, just all half and half colored.
Yeah, that's not my thing.
No?
Nope, I do not mix chocolate with my slushies.
It sounds delicious. And you've never had one of those like, oranges, like the chocolate orange that you smash underneath the little pieces of?
No.
No? They're good.
Never had that.
You ever had a cocoa chili powder?
No.
Chili powder cocoa? Chili
you?
Pea? Yeah, no, it's good.
Never had it.
Yeah,
I guess my sweet tooth is limited to Nutty Buddies and Swiss rolls.
Second grade.
Not in a cellophane wrapper at snack time or a reward for winning a soccer game. You cannot indulge with it next to a Kool-Aid hug.
you lose, you get a snowball. Nobody wanted the snowballs.
That was the weirdest coach ever.
the other flavor in China.
Weirdest coach's friend Steve too.
I think we're thinking of different kinds of snowballs. The other flavor is mango/orange, which I'm not too crazy about. I don't like the passion fruits. This has caused Oreo sales in China to skyrocket. Chris, passion is anathema to me. Kellogg noticed that people in Spain like to pour hot coffee over their cereal because they do not enjoy cold milk in the morning. I'm just having a cup of Joe with some cornflakes in it.
Coffee flakes?
Coffee flakes. Mm, yeah. Mm. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. 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 Cookie crunch. And finally, Frito-Lay found that Russians were very, very hard to convince to eat potato chips. Most of their potatoes going to the vodka harvest. The most popular Russian snack has remained the same since the Cold War. A packaged piece of stale bread slathered in oil and baked to a crisp. Think of something more depressing than that.
A crouton slice.
Think of something more depressing than that.
Yeah, those people are not happy.
They
are just not happy. We think we can give them democracy or fair elections, and they're just going to... They're going to be so happy.
The suicide rate over there is like 120%.
If they're somber, I'm happy. No, if they're somber,
yeah,
I'm
okay.
happy.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
If they're somber,
if they're
relatively,
pissed,
they're
I'm
happy.
Scared.
Yeah, exactly. Phew, boy.
And if they're all missily, I'm all sheltery.
ICBM. ICB moving. So in order to beat this predilection, they decided, hey, let's gussy these up a little bit. So they decided to offer potato chips that are flavored after red caviar and pickled cucumber.
Uppity sluts.
You just they have lots of sturgeon and stuff over there. They just eat they eat the garbage parts of the animal.
Like a sturgeon. You know?
Yeah, no. So I mean, this leaves out like Canada, where you can get ketchup flavored potato chips, which is just awful. That sounds terrible. But I'm sure other people think barbecue chips are.
That's
gross,
the kind of desperation I don't have an answer for. I really don't.
What kind of desperation?
Just to eat that stuff.
to get people to eat that stuff.
That's in general.
Yeah.
That kind of environment. I don't know. Can I ask you a question?
Yes, you can.
How do you steal a 10-ton bridge?
One piece at a time.
That's right. Do you have a story? the answer in this case is that you pretend that you've been hired to demolish it. That's what a gang of metal thieves allegedly did in the Czech Republic, showing townspeople forged paperwork and telling them that the bridge over unused railroad tracks needed to come down. The thieves stole the bridge as well as 650 feet of track, which is estimated to be worth almost $3 million.
Stole the bridge.
Stole the bridge.
We've done this story before.
But yeah, people like, stole the bridge, but this is much further explanation.
Yeah, this is like
you show up with papers.
Yeah, like before it was like someplace in Vermont. Oh, it was like
these bridge thieves have papers.
This isn't like
taking a puppy from the side of the road. This is a show dog.
This is Ocean's
11.
It's
got papers.
It's got papers, man. You had to like hold my hand and walk me straight to it and like push my nose into it to get me to drink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As unshow dog as it can be, yes. Yes, I did.
Right. No, like before it was just some people in Vermont who like stole a bridge that went to some public park that nobody went to.
Yeah.
Yeah, just in the dead of night they welded it and
which is what
away.
Republicans do. We're gonna tear down the bridges to nowhere.
we're gonna devour this nation's infrastructure for meth.
Yeah.
For meth and hookers. Methane hookers?
No, I thought you were meth and hookers.
But
it's a convenience store I would like to frequent.
But this is like an Ocean's 11 style long con. In fact, that's probably they're filming for it over
there.
In fact,
that's probably a ninja movie that needs to be made.
The Ocean's 11 Long Con?
Yes.
Do you think that Long Con is some kind of Orientalism?
I'd assume that you put a G at the end.
Long Con.
Kong, yes.
Long Kong.
Yes.
Yeah, Liu Kang. He was a Mortal Kombat. He was a Mortal Combatant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your turn.
You don't tell me when we move on.
I do too.
God damn it. So angry. Chris, moral guardians and social scientists alike are commenting on the dangers of being a part of the YouTube generation.
YouTube. Hi. Hi. Can I ask you a question? Have you ever heard of YouTube? But before you answer, have you ever seen a cat smile?
Let's go back to doing our own podcast for
a
second.
Oh, my bad. All right.
Sorry. I like it when we just, like, obviously crib from other shows.
What are you going to do?
Nobody calls us on it.
We're part of the YouTube generation.
Yeah, exactly. We reappropriate.
Nothing is original. Which I assume is the rest of your story.
No, no.
Okay.
No, no. First, I was going to comment on how douchey the term YouTube generation is. And I'm so happy. Am I saying it weird? Is that why you're... Am I saying it weird?
No, you're saying it like Bluetooth. But I say YouTube.
The phrase YouTube generation, like, upsets
no,
me.
No, YouTube.
YouTube. Being part of the YouTube...
No, you're a tool. YouTube.
Being part of the YouTube generation.
There you go.
There we go.
That's like, good, VO.
That... Okay, third take.
Can't believe you get paid for that.
Let's stand on...
First time.
I had a video go up. That's
I
great.
Know.
I
that's
like
awesome.
It.
I can't believe yeah. it. They must...
I can't believe somebody wanted you to do that.
Apathetic high budget. There you go.
Stop. Yeah, yeah, fuck it. Let's just have him do it. I don't care.
He's a nihilist dying.
But, at least it's an ethos being a VO.
What are you going to do?
No. So I hate the term YouTube generation. I can barely handle being called a millennial. God damn it. If you say it. Sorry.
I'm not going to say anything about my glasses being upside down.
Well, no, I saw you do it. I know you do shit for attention, so aren't these your glasses?
No.
No, those are bifocals. Those are not your glasses.
Not my glasses.
Okay. Now, this story is going into a different direction. This
YouTube.
It used to be that you were only influenced by your peers who were immediately next to you. People who, you know, you went to school with, or people in the neighborhood, you know, just people that you interacted with on a daily basis. However, with today's hypersocial teens, you can have bad influences from across the globe, as evidenced by the number of YouTube fads and challenges that could have adverse health risks. Okay? Do you know about the cinnamon challenge?
No.
It's where you try and eat like a tablespoon of cinnamon. Just pure cinnamon.
Done it.
You have? Really?
No.
Okay.
Can you?
No, I don't want to do it.
It's hard to breathe
because because you aspirate it and it causes your lungs to get inflamed. No, that's really, that's like the health risk.
You want to do it?
No, I don't. Because like all these kids are going to the hospital like vomiting and just, you know, their eyes are all like red and inflamed and they're like, they can't see
idiots.
For 3 days. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know about the salt and ice challenge?
You do know that if you got like a half mouthful of water and then dumped it on.
Oh, God.
Yeah. You wouldn't aspirate it.
You would just die.
You would just seize. That's all that would happen.
You would convulse. Do you know about the salt and ice challenge?
No.
You pour some salt on your skin, you take an ice cube, and you just hold it down on there. Problem.
It burns it.
Oh, it burns it. It makes it like it leaves a mark. It's like permanent.
Neat.
Because salt.
Like in a big red wrapper and putting on your forehead. You ever done that?
No, I've not, but I know about it.
It burns.
I know. But like, I remember like when I was, back in my day, back in 1995, you know, we would.
we were eight.
I know. We would take our tongues and we'd put them on the end of 9-volt batteries. You know, and just see how long we could hold them there, you know, or we would see how many warheads we could put into our mouths. Now kids are running around, you know, and just eating nutmeg and, you know, having anal sex.
Good Lord.
8-year-olds pounding nutmeg and pounding asses. Chris, you know, the nutmeg is it's a hallucinogen. It'll make you feel like you want to die for 4 days, but you'll trip balls.
I just thought about when we were used to be kids and we would tie strings to our cock and balls and then attach them.
Close the door.
And then attach them to marionette controls that we would run by our feet and lay upside down on our beds.
Hey, Mr. Elephant. Are you okay? Are you okay, Mr. Elephant? You look sad.
You don't know.
YouTube challenges.
What are we going to do?
It's like they spread like it's mimetic. It's diseases. They're spreading throughout the internet and people are doing it. You got people who are, you know, drinking a bunch or putting a bunch of swallowing a bunch of Mentos and then drinking a bunch of Diet Coke.
Well, that was just a natural progression. that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Internet or not. People are renouncing their U.S. citizenship in record numbers. At least 1,788 Americans officially threw away their U.S. citizenship in 2011, exceeding the totals from 2007, 8, and 9 combined. Note that the United States is the only nation that taxes its citizens no matter where they reside on Earth or in its orbit.
Really?
Yes.
So if you are a citizen of the moon...
If you are a citizen of the moon in the Earth's orbit, you are being taxed.
Wait, so if you break orbit, then you're fine.
I don't know who has broken orbit.
Well, I'm just saying, like, this is really forward
looking. I
mean, if orbit...
Dude, you could be on the precipice of tax law, but unfortunately, you could just quit being a U.S. citizen, and that would solve the problem.
Yeah, well, no, I guess what I'm saying is, if I bleed red, white, and blue, but I don't like paying taxes, like, you know, every red-blooded American, you know, and I want to go colonize, let's say, Alpha Centauri. Am I still paying back to the United States?
Because
if they mention orbit in legislation, then they're obviously looking towards the future when we're colonizing. When we're out there asteroid mining.
Okay. What I will say is, as long as a person maintains citizen status, they are expected to send the United States government pennies on every dollar, no matter where they live. With the U.S. enacting stricter guidelines in recent years, that demand wealthy Americans abroad paying the IRS even more, citizens are voluntarily refusing the perks and protection of the United States in numbers unmatched in recent memory.
Does it say, like, what countries people are, like, expatriating to?
They don't have to. They're citizens of the world. You don't have to, like, give up one and take another. It's...
No. You know, but,
you can just be anywhere.
You can be a man without a country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. No taxes.
No taxes.
In fact, the other guy, the Verace dude, the Facebook guy, the Mark Zuckerberg's partner.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah. Spider-Man.
Yeah. He quit.
He said,
I'm out. No, he didn't quit Facebook. He quit being us.
He quit being American?
He quit being us.
Well, he was like Brazilian.
He quit our team, though.
He quit.
He quit.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said, I'm done.
I'm done.
I'm done.
I rescind my citizenship.
And his lawyer said that it was because there were too many restrictions placed on his investment abroad. Hmm. Companies, banks, etc., that he can put or stow away or invest his money into. The U.S. government said, you know, we're going to take a slice of that or we're going to, you know, think we're going to investigate that. There was too much scrutiny into which.
But the weird.
Plus, it's ahead of the IPO, so he should probably do that.
Yeah, so he's got to take the money and run.
Yeah.
However, that's weird because you can actually, like, write off on your taxes any foreign taxes that you pay. So if you sell a product in Japan, like, this is a big thing for iOS developers or any kind of, like, software developers. If your money is taxed in another country, you can write, you deduct that tax amount from your taxable U.S. income. So that's, like, it doesn't make sense that they would do both.
But why would you then pay additional United States tax?
What's that? Well, no, it just it reduces how much you...
Yeah, it reduces it, but if you just paid the tax that you were reducing by and then have no tax on top of that, you know, I mean, it's not like if you live in a place that taxes you more than the U.S. was taxing you, that the U.S., like, reimburses you for that difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's just not a benefit if you're a citizen of the world.
A citizen of the world.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, we're all citizens of the world.
It's not a hippie concept.
Yeah.
I'm not, like, citizen of the universe, man. But, like, just a citizen of the world, you know? You know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know?
Do you think
like, if you don't carry any euro or dollar, you just carry a credit card?
Well, there's a credit card. No, there was this guy. There was a book being written about him, or a book that was recently written about him, The Man Who Quit Money.
Nah, I saw that.
You saw that? I almost made a story about it, but it wasn't...
He lived in a cave.
Like, it wasn't, like, interesting enough to make a story for this.
Yeah, people gave him, dented cans of beans, and he cooked them on a fire in a cave.
And he died of botulism.
Yeah.
No.
No, he wrote a bike, and... He lived in Portland.
He
was a Portland citizen.
He lived in Portland.
So
that's almost taken as read, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. No, see, so just he had $30 to his name, and he left it in a phone booth and said, "I'm done." And for the past 12 years, he has neither made nor paid a cent for anything, and just, you know, lives by foraging through dumpsters. But
people give him things.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's like being a Buddhist monk.
He's a charity case.
It's like being a Buddhist monk.
You're being a Methodist priest. Put whatever name to you want.
No, you're raising your kids
off of somebody else's lichen of your talking.
Lichen of your talking. To be a Buddhist monk.
Or not lichen of your talking. I don't know. Shut up.
To be a Buddhist monk, or be like an ascetic Buddhist monk in Southeast Asia, you have to spend, you know, a large sum of time, basically, you know, with a bowl, and whatever people put into your bowl, that's what you have to eat. So even if you've sworn not to take a life, you know, if somebody puts meat in there, it's like, hey, have this, you eat it, you know? So you live off of the charity of others.
Very true.
Yeah. And then you can, you know, become a monk.
Which is how I would get rid of my murder victims.
Well, speaking of expatriates and patriots alike, after the tragic events of September 11th, 2001, I had to be specific there. Rick Sanders. This was the 2001 version.
After the tragic events of September 11th, 2008, when the Buffalo Bills lost to.
Football season hadn't started yet.
Yes, it has.
Okay. Sorry. I don't know enough about football season to make that joke.
Municipal league.
Municipal league. Rick Sanders decided to show his support for the military and for his country by getting a vanity license plate that read H8UBIN. Hate you, Bin. Hate you, Bin Laden.
Who has a problem with this?
Well, nobody had a problem with that one. But he proceeded to kind of like edge the line of good taste up until he picked F. Osama. And he had this for several years until 3 months before the plate expired. He got a letter from the DMV saying, like, hey, you're never going to need to take that back because you can't have an obscene license plate. And he says, well, and this is a quote, it can mean fight Osama or forget Osama, whatever you want it to be. He says, fillet Osama, fear Osama. It's just whatever you want. Let's go down the alphabet. Come on. So he got the letter from the DMV and they sent him a replacement plate. But the weird thing is the new plate reads 6668UP, which he takes to mean the devil ate you up. Quote Sanders, I don't appreciate the plate they sent me and I would like the chance to pick my own. You done blew it. You can't do that anymore. The DMV assures us that the assignment was completely random. F. Osama, nope, the devil ate you up. You don't have anything to say about this?
No.
It's absurd enough on its own.
It's kind of
right?
standalone. I don't need to say anything about that.
God damn. I hate it when you do that to me.
Well, what am I supposed to do? I don't want to say anything. There's nothing to say.
Okay, Jesus.
You pick stories that require no discussion. They're just, they are what they are.
God damn it. Have you ever considered a vanity plate?
No.
You haven't?
No.
Not even once?
You?
No.
Neither have I.
Why would I?
It doesn't hit home.
Well, If I was a criminal, I would get one L, 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 one L, L, one L. The lowercase L's.
Super. That's great.
Or U, L, L, U, L, U.
But let me just give you a lesson about what we do when we have a guest on this show. And that's what I look like. Every week we do a show, and every week you're my guest. Okay?
I'm your guest?
Yeah.
You're
my guest. And so I pick things that, you know, are, you know, you're not doing a movie. There's nothing exciting in your life. But I think that you are, you know, an opinion maker or haver. I think you're an opinion haver. You're not an opinion maker. Nobody cares about your opinion. And it's going to repeat it.
I'm a tastemaker.
You are a taste havinger while you have opinions in you. And so I say these stories to be able to get your opinions that are in you out of you so you don't commit suicide. The reason that you shouldn't do that is because of stories like this. A British woman said she was forced to fight off a giant eagle.
The grocery store?
No.
Yeah.
Which swooped down and tried to fly off with one of her dogs while she hiked a trail on Spain's southern coastline. The bird of prey grabbed one of her two Jack Russell Terriers as they walked. She said, suddenly, this enormous bird swooped across the path. With one talon, it grabbed the dog's nose, and the other, her collar. And I thought that was it for the dog, but it struggled for a moment, and I moved in. I had just a moment to act and grabbed a hold of its enormous wing. It turned and bit me, but released the dog.
That's heroic. You could write a poem about that.
Very true.
She shouldn't have given her dog an easy handle, an easy carry handle.
Very true.
Yeah. I mean, just for real though.
Why does that dog have a fish on its collar? I don't know.
Who knows?
That's weird.
Seems like a weird thing to do.
That seems odd.
Yeah. Did you know that Ben Franklin? He protested the idea of the eagle being the symbol of America.
Why?
The bald eagle? Because it's a carrion bird. It eats corpses. Do you know what he wanted to be the national bird of America?
No.
The turkey.
That's right, you've said that before.
Have I?
Yeah.
Okay, on the show?
Because it sustains.
Does it?
No.
No, but a turkey, it eats grain, and it is wily, like old turkeys, like these really, like, cagey turkeys that used to, like, you used to hunt them. You know, they were, like, little birds before we, like, mutated them through genetic engineering and shit. Mm-hmm. They would just be out there. It's like he admired the smart and wily turkey. It's like, we need to make this. We need to put it on the flag. But the eagle prevailed because he was majestic, eating the corpses of other colonies.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do? Steal a doggy. Steal that doggy.
Steal that dog.
Yeah. Just steal it.
Mm. I don't know.
Yummy. Numbers.
See? Many opinions out of you.
Well, no. There's also, like we have this idea of eagles being, you know, endangered and precious. And in certain parts of, like, continental America, they are. Specifically bald eagles. But there are places in Alaska where bald eagles are basically shoot on sight because they overrun the place. Like, they're by the docks, and then they're pests. Yeah. Then they're basically the seagulls of Alaska, but they're seagulls that, instead of just being vectors for disease, are, you know, killing machines made of talons and beaks, you know, that will descend in a whirlwind of fury.
No, I'm so happy you stopped by this week to promote your regional your regional publication of Birds of Our Fathers.
So, Chris, you asked me.
Is there anything else listeners should know about this book, Birds of Our Fathers?
Well, there's another issue that I'm passionate about. And that is the burial rites of the Middle East.
Oh, good.
Boy.
I'm sure they're going to wake up for that. Do you want to NPR this? Everybody loves your impersonation of Ira Glass.
Hamdi Hafez al-Nubi, a 28-year-old Egyptian waiter, was declared dead by doctors after suffering a heart attack at work. His family was grieving him at the funeral in the Islamic tradition by washing his body and preparing it for the burial. A doctor was brought in to sign the death certificate, but thought it was strange that the body was still warm. A closer inspection revealed that al-Nubi was still alive. The mother fainted, and after some effort, both son and mother were awakened. And now Act Two.
Yeah. See, I respect...
I have no idea what you said. I do know that my credit card is out.
Here's your tote bag.
I want the hat.
You get the tote bag.
No, I literally have no idea what you said. Summarize that, please.
They thought this 28-year-old dude died of a heart attack, which would have been weird. Doctor declared him dead. Another doctor came out to sign the death certificate, thought it was weird that his body was still warm and that he was breathing and that he was saying, "Hey, don't bury me." And they decided that he wasn't dead.
So dead dude was alive.
The dead dude was alive.
Never read that before.
Yes, you have.
So have you. Why'd you pick it?
What's that?
So have you. Why'd you pick it?
Because I wanted to get your
opinion.
You
gotta step your game up, boy.
God damn it.
People be dead when they in the ground and dead.
Dead people be dead when they take all their fluid out and replace it with weird fluid.
Which is why countries that don't embalm bury live people.
Yep. Like, all the time. Which I was going to say.
Because I think an embalmer, they kill 2 out of 3 people.
Exactly. You slip, you hit your head on the corner of a table, you're bleeding out, you wake up, you see a coroner nearby, you better run, because he's going to replace your blood with embalming fluid.
He's trying to put the blanket on you that says juiced.
He's going to take all of your blood. He's going to cut a hole in you and have all the blood go out the bottom and then put all the embalming fluid in the top. It's the only way you can finish.
I don't know.
Coroners, Chris, are marauding across this country and stealing our vital fluids.
Very true.
God damn it.
Pennsylvania State wildlife officials say a deer smashed into an elementary school, frightening students and teachers as it ran through hallways, leaving a trail of blood. The Game Commission says the animal broke its leg and had to be euthanized at the conclusion of its rant. Principal Alice Conley says there was blood all over because the deer cut itself on the way into the school. A wildlife conservation officer for the Game Commission says the deer likely saw its reflection in a glass door and darted toward it, smashing into the school.
That's what you get when the architect of the Crystal Cathedral builds a
what
school.
What are you going to do? I don't know. I'm going to smash into this school.
Hey there. Hey, buddy.
Here.
God. Okay, so, like, can we basically be of the opinion and the assumption of the persuasion that deer are basically big, stupid rats?
That's what they look like.
That's what they are. They're big, stupid rats.
By any other name.
A deer by any other name is a big fucking, stupid rat. Yeah. So dumb. You're so dumb, deer. I say that to my wife every day.
I know.
Helen?
In the novel you're writing about yourself. Novella. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't have the patience to write a novel. So I like that they had to euthanize it after it finished.
Just whenever you're done. We're going to juice you.
Get your Lyme disease blood all over my son's.
Yeah, there you go.
Over my son's cubby hole.
Did you shake all the ticks off? You good?
You all right? You all right there?
You all right, dear?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just scrape up against those walls.
Make some good bologna.
Yeah.
Going to taste good with my Lyme disease. That's going to be
good. As I go crazy. Watch out. Lyme disease in 2012. It's on the rise.
Tastes like your dad.
Check every square inch of your body for ticks.
It's the only time that tastes like Chris, your dad. It actually makes sense.
Lyme disease and rabies, Chris. Those are the watch diseases. Those are the ones to look out for. We're on the go.
Threat level. Threat level itchy. So there you go.
Threat level bloated.
Ugh.
Chris, life can be hard for a party conscious college aged woman. They often travel from party to party without a purse or a jacket, keeping their belongings or without a purse or a jacket to keep their belongings in. The result is that many women carry their keys, wallets, money, ID in their bra. Or vagina. In the front of, yeah, just right up in the old coin purse. But they're just forced to, or maybe just carry it around in their hand, you know? Just there's no dignity to it. If you're going out in your fuck me dress, you know, there's no place to keep an iPhone. Or is there? Enter Kickstarter and some young entrepreneurs who have created the Joey Bra. The Joey Bra, Chris, it's a bra.
It's from Australia.
No, it's a bra that has a pocket underneath the armpit that is shaped for an iPhone, and you know, if it rings, you just well, wait a second, reach down the front of your dress and pull it out and answer it, and then you put it back down in there. It's discreet, It's sanitary. Not really. The pocket isn't waterproof, so don't sweat because it will corrode and destroy your phone. But it's there, and a waterproof version is coming. You give $30 on Kickstarter, you get a free one. It's shipped to you. No big deal.
Oh, is this the place where you give money to, like, upstart products and businesses, Kickstarter? Is that what that is?
Yeah. How could you not know what Kickstarter is?
I don't know. Where are you going to jump across the table and punch me?
Ah, no. No, I mean, like Kickstarter is neat, but I figured, maybe it's because of the bubble that I live in, but I figured Kickstarter would reach, like, critical mass.
Yeah, sometimes I do ask questions. Like, I was really part of a show that didn't assume that everyone knew everything I did.
God.
You know, like a professional.
Don't you goddamn dare talk to me like
like I've been doing it for 8 years, you know. Yeah. Like that.
You know, like that. No, okay. So
sometimes I just don't take for granted that the whole audience is with us, you know.
Okay, all right. Sorry, no. They've got fucking Google. They have the show notes. I don't care. No. No, but yeah, Kickstarter, you know,
considering that, like, we have fans in other countries that might not know. Okay. That are loosely translating.
No, Kickstarter.
I mean, cabbage. I don't know. I'm just trying to bring them up to speed.
So angry.
Don't kick that cabbage. That's all I got to say.
Marker. So, Kickstarter. It's kind of like, hey, I want to make this cool thing, but I need money. So basically, people who want to be patrons of this, they give a certain amount, and there are levels, and you know, you kind of pay what you want, and you know, you get it funded. So it could be like you pay ten dollars, you get a thing, you pay $10,000, we fly you out, and we have dinner with you, and we put you up in a hotel, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's big. Like I funded there are a couple of games that I've helped fund, like where you get copies of them for less than you would. Once they get made.
This is a way for you to be part of something.
Well, no, for thousands of people to, like, help cool stuff get made.
So you to be part of the in crew.
I guess. I don't know. But I felt
get
like
something. This is not selfless.
No, you're going to get, you invest in it.
I mean, ultimately you want to get that money.
You want to get that thing.
Instead you get a t-shirt.
Yeah. Instead you get a t-shirt, but you know, it's just like a way to be like, hey, I'd buy that game. Why don't I pay $15, make sure it gets made and get it for half price when it comes out.
There you go.
You know, like, my old roommates, their first like real album they put out.
Mm-hmm.
They funded it on Kickstarter.
Hmm.
And now there is this product that will assuredly increase the breast cancer rate of anybody who uses it.
Why?
Because of radiation.
I don't believe that.
Now, neither do I. I don't
At all.
Do you have another story?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. There's this guy named Thomas Parkin, who's 51 years old. And he doesn't believe that he's done anything wrong because he actually believes he is his mother. Thomas says, I held my mother when she was dying and breathed in her last breath. So, therefore, I am my mother. Thomas appeared as his adoptive mom, Irene, in a wig and dress several times to collect some $115,000 in Social Security and other benefits and profit from manipulating a mortgage on a $2.2 million Brooklyn brownstone. Thomas's mom was buried. He gave an incorrect Social Security number for her, so her death wasn't properly recorded. During a recent trial, a prosecutor is quoted as saying, how is your mother's health? Fair, he responded. She had a stroke a few years ago. She can't walk properly. You speak with her? The prosecutor asked. You meet with her? He responded, she doesn't reply directly. And further explained that their communication is one-sided.
And if you look up in the distance, you can see her shadow in the window.
Don't leave me, mommy.
No, come inside me, mommy.
Come inside me, mommy.
Come inside me. I'll be a home for you, mommy.
I had held mommy's last puff of Virginia Slim.
Out of her stoma. And then she passed. And I put on a wig.
That was the death puff.
This has been Those Damn Ross Kids.
So, hey, Cole, what can they do?
Okay, they can go to duckfeed.tv, and that is the portal to everything TDRK related. From there, you can find our Facebook group where you can comment on our stories or give us stories to talk about or just start up a discussion. It's a happening place to be. I think we're about ready to cross, like, what, 90, 80?
Something
like that. You can also, from there, subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us a rating or a review, which is incredibly appreciated. If you're not of the iTunes persuasion, you don't get your podcast that way, you can tell a friend. You know, our episodes are generally short enough to put onto a CD. Give a CD to somebody or leave one out in public. It's all okay. And most of all, you can keep on listening. Was there anything that I missed?
You missed the voicemail.
Oh, yes. We haven't gotten our voicemail in a while. So if you want to call in and give us a conversation prompt or just let us know how we're doing, you can dial us at 419-528-TDRK. Is that it?
Yeah, that's good.
Good night.
Good night.